hear and realize and know what's in you. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we feel like, oh, it's just me, just my strength. Well, if that's the case, and that's where you're at, is just your strength and how you're going to handle things, you're probably pretty well right on there. But I think it's, I don't know if it's maybe so more so today, that we are having to have more strength than with what we've got in ourselves. You know, we need strength from above. Amen. And we need to have that strength through Him in us. And that only happens by us doing something, surrendering a lot of things to Him. And it begins by a process, doesn't it? So today I want to maybe begin to look at this as an area of how we should handle life. How many here has a life that's taking place in their life? We all have life in us. We're all doing something. Amen. And praise God for those that are here today that maybe you're saying, you know, it's been a pretty easy week this past week. You know, as I think back, this month's been pretty good. This year's been pretty good. You know, if you go back even the last couple of years, wow, you're blessed. Amen. You know, if you've had that ability to say, you know, I've come through this pretty well. Everything's going well. Because life has its ups and downs, doesn't it? Even if your life is going well, I'm sure you have friends, you know, family, co-workers. And then sometimes it's even people that are complete strangers to you that you hear about a situation they're going through a word of mouth. And that begins to sometimes come upon you to think like, oh my goodness, that poor family. Oh my goodness, that poor lady, that poor gentleman, or that whatever the case is that they're having to go through. I think it's one of those things that I believe as we get Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us, we start to feel some things for people around us, because I think that's what God is about. God knows those feelings of people. He knows when you're hurting. You know, God is not some God up there that just says, well, I'm God and I'm strong and I got strength and I know it's all happening and I can take care of it and I'm not going to, it's okay. You know, because it even says that, you know, I think he had a tear probably when Jesus, his son, was on the cross, you know. We think of Jesus. We think, well, why would he worry about things? Because he knew what was going to happen, you know. It was all in God's hands. His Father in heaven says that I would not say or do anything with what the Father has told me or showed me. So Jesus had a one-up on everything as well. But we're going to find out some things as well there. Well, no matter what happens across your life, I'm pretty well, I believe, this I hope ministers to everyone today, and if not, it'll be for your tomorrows. We have a tomorrow coming as well, don't we? Now, I'm going to look at the things and say, don't worry about the past. The past has come and gone, and there's no sense praying about that stuff. It's done. You need to concern yourselves for today. And actually, it says in His Word, don't even worry about tomorrow in some instances, right? But our today is today, and we will find that our today will lead us into our tomorrows. But to get to your tomorrows, you've got to be strong today, don't you? Don't you have to persevere today to have a tomorrow? To know what's going to take place. So I'm not going to worry about our tomorrows either, but I'm going to prepare myself for tomorrow. Amen. Is it just me? I hear a ring periodically up here. Honey, please, would you check it, please? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Just want to make sure that it's not ricocheting out there. I don't want you guys going. And I've seen people too, and it says, you know, as I was typing this out, and as I begin to type things out, I just begin to flow. But it's like if you happen to be a person that doesn't get moved by a situation that others are going through, we may want to take your pulse. I don't know. I just came up last night. It's like, oh, Lord, how's that going to go, you know? But we need to feel for other people. Because until you feel for other people, you will not do and do what the Lord has asked us to do to even share the good message of the gospel, the good news, because you're going to be so content in your own life and your own world that it's going to be like, hey, I've got it made, God is on my side, things are going to be good. But it's what about those people out here and out there and over here and sometimes even your own family and different ones that are going through situations. If I can be so callous to say, oh, well, so-and-so, you know what, I don't even know them. I don't even feel for them. Well, take your pulse, man. I could go into many scenarios of how things have affected me the last few years. And when you hear of a tragic shooting, daycare, school, young lives, kindergartners across this nation, there's times that when I hear that in the news, I begin to weep wherever I'm at to think that the tragedy that just took place and the lives that are going to be affected forever. That situation is going to change the course of that family as if they never knew it was, they were not prepared for it. Tragic. It's empathy. It's feeling for other people. God tells us that we're a family. I believe, especially for us in the family of God, in His kingdom, even though we don't have people that attend our church, but I know people, I know pastors here and there, when they're going through something, or a pastor shares with me about something that's going on, you begin to feel that and you keep them in prayer and you pray for that pastor or you pray maybe for that situation in their church. You don't need to know the names. You don't need to know the details of everything because God already knows that. But if I hear of something going on, I want to be able to at least stand up or sit down or kneel or do whatever, just my time throughout the day in meditation with the Lord is just when it comes to my spirit, I want to have the compassion enough to lift that person or that need or that church's need up in prayer to God. Because I want to help others. I want to lift those up. Talks about being intercessors. We need to be an intercessor for other people. Especially for people that sometimes don't know how to pray. We've got to intercede for them. Some people are thinking like, I'd like to pray to God, but it sounds like you got to really know a lot of new King James and you got to pray in these and thous and thus and oh, well. All these tongue twisters. It's like, man, I pray to him in Tim's English. In Tim's ability. I just come to him and I just start talking to him. And then I do a lot of listening to him. But I hope you that are here today have compassion for others, even if you don't know them when they go through a tragic time. Because I can only envision, I can only assume and think what that situation is bringing upon that family. Sometimes it's enough in the church world. It's enough within a church family, and we're a very small congregation. And there's those, and we've got some problems in our own little small congregation of situations going on. And just think of larger churches and other situations. And then I've got, I don't know about you guys, but I got a family. Anybody got a family? Anybody got kids? Anybody got grandkids? Man, I tell you what, there's a lot of need that I have that I need to go to prayer about. And it gets me close to God, but when we have these situations, I can know that when I'm lifting up my prayers, whether it's covering my grandkids or my kids or the church family or whatever the case might be, that my God is there. How about you? My God is there listening to me. He loves me. He cares for me. Even in, well, I don't even want to go there. There's things in the community because of within the chaplain of the police department that you get called to that I go to people that have tragedies that they had no way at 9 o'clock in the morning realizing that at 4 o'clock somebody in their family was going to die. And it's usually a tragic time or a very much of a surprise. It's something that you just don't plan. And so you hear, and I have that empathy out there in our community to see what's going on, and I can drive by different places that I've been to and thinking, I wonder how that family is doing now. I wonder how they have moved on past that tragic thing in their life. But how do I do it? I go by prayer. If it's something that I hear from one of you folks, I go to prayer. If I get called on a call, as I'm heading to that call, I'm going by prayer, and I'm saying, God, go before me. Spirit, lead me, guide me, and you intercede in that situation. I need you. I can't do it alone. And that's life. That's just life. We cannot do life alone. So getting back to that point to where if we go, well, I'm not moved by other people. If it happens, oh, well, it happens. What happened to Jesus? Jesus had tears. If we're going to emulate him, follow him, be a disciple of his, do we not want to also have that same tenderness that he had? We find that in John 11:35, Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Lazarus, his friend, died. Well, if you want to, turn to John 11:35. You will get there, and I'm going to back up. Matter of fact, has anybody ever heard of something happening in a person and just you're aware of something happening, and all you do is you just kind of like go, oh. That's kind of like a groan, isn't it? Oh. It hits you right here. Jesus wept. Jesus groaned. So as we find this here, it talks about in chapter 11 in John, it starts off, we're not going to read all the way through, we'll hit some of the scriptures here, but now a certain man was sick, Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. The sisters said to him, Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. Jesus heard that and he says, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus already knew the situation taking place. He knew this was for what? For the glory of God. And so when he heard that he was sick, verse 6, he stayed two more days where he was at. After this, he said to his disciples, hey, let's go. Let's go. The disciples said to him in verse 8, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and now you're going to where they're at or there again? Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, or walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Verse 11, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get well. But Jesus says this, no, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking a rest and sleep. Now, there's times that probably when I have slept, my wife has probably thought that I was dead because she couldn't get a rise out of me. Wake up! You know, and it's like, I think about the third time, Tim, I was like, huh? Yeah, what? Were you sleeping? No. Deep in thought. Then Jesus says to them plainly in 14, Lazarus is dead. Well, straight out. I'm saying he's sleeping, but my verbiage, when I say he's sleeping, he's had to tell them, no, there, he's dead. That's pretty definitive, isn't it? He's dead. There's no, well, maybe he's just passed out. Maybe he'll wake up. Maybe he's just whatever. No, dead is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who he called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, hey, let us go that we may die with him. Now they're thinking that he's going back. He's going to get stoned and going back to the, almost going back to where, you know, the people won't like him. Let's go and let's get stoned. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb, what, 4 days? So it goes on and it continues on. He's having this conversation. Martha, in verse 20, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Mary was sitting at the house. Martha says this to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. She's going, well, yeah, I know, and the resurrection and all this that takes place. And he says, no. So then we get into the whole thing, and he's finally getting to the place, and verse 35 talks about Jesus wept. Now, isn't it interesting to know that he was going to live, he was going to come back, he was going to know what was going to take place, but yet Jesus wept. Now, when I go and I pray for someone and they're having a very tough time or they're maybe having something very serious, you know, we pray with faith. We pray believing that God is going to touch them and heal them or do whatever is necessary here. Many times for now, for what I say now, of course, as I always say, Lord, let your will be accomplished. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, if there's something that you have planned out for this individual that they have not attained yet or have not accomplished for you yet, Lord, I pray that you would extend their life to meet that accomplishment that you have designed for them. Intercede for them, Lord. Bring them back to life. You know, add 20 plus one more day. Add something to them, whatever it is, Lord, to meet that need that you have planned for their purpose of life. I want to try to take it out of my hand because I'd want everybody to live and to meet my ability to say, Lord, just let them live, 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 live. But I know that even some people die. Some die even in faith. But those that die in faith, we rest knowing that it says that, you know, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. We know that if they were sick here, there's no sickness in heaven. There's all these things that gives us comfort that Jesus said, if it were not so, I would not go to prepare a place for you. All these things that as we, as followers of him, should have this comfort and strength within us that we pull from. Then when we go through those times, that the Spirit begins to remind us of these things as we begin to doubt. Yes, sometimes, I'm going to admit, there's sometimes I've had a doubt now and then, and there's sometimes that I've had a situation to where I've just said, I've had it. I've had it up to here. Even as a pastor, I sit here or stand at the pulpit, and I speak out to everybody else saying, brother and sister, just be strong in the Lord. He will get you through this. You've got to have faith. You've got to have comfort. You've got to seek God. He will be there for you. And then when I get hit with something, then I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, how is this going to, you know? You know why? Because I'm human. I'm human just like you. I have emotions. I have things that sometimes within us, our thoughts begin to rise up. But praise God, having the Spirit of God in me, that when my spirit begins to rise up saying, oh no, what about? Oh no, I don't know. Oh boy, it's a problem. The Spirit within me begins to say, now wait a minute, Tim, stop. Stop, stop, stop. Who are you? Who do you serve? I ask you today, who are you? Who do you serve? Who is in you? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How about that for you? Amen. So we find out even in John 11:33, Jesus groaned. Even when he heard that his friend that he loved in John 11:3, he groans. Groaning. In this particular area here, it's talking about as indicating a speaking or acting with deep feeling. Groaning. Oh, oh, I'm so sad to hear that. I think you go into Psalms, you'll find out that he hears your groaning. He receives the groans that you groan. Now, we even find out, and we're moving. Hey, we got a little time here. We're doing okay. Another time that he wept, and I don't know if I'm going to turn there, but it was over Jerusalem itself and what was taking place there. Well, it's in Luke. I'm just going to turn there in case I need to pull out something from there. But in Luke 19:41, it talks about, as they drew near, he saw the city, Jerusalem, and he wept over this. He wept over a whole city. It says here, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close in on you on every side. And they will level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus is looking at this and what he was about and going into Jerusalem and what was going to take place. But here again, I'm just focusing on the point that when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. He's weeping over an entire city, a whole region there. He's weeping over that. If he's weeping and crying over those things that he sees that's taking place, why is it that you can't cry when you hear about a situation going on in somebody's life or in somebody's situation that you can't get yourself so disconnected from, well, I'm not going to cry. Men don't cry. I'm powerful. I'm not going to let them. You better show people that you've got a tenderness in your heart. Amen. That you can feel and have empathy for somebody to say, I've got to help them. I've got to pray for them. I don't know exactly because I've never dealt with that exactly, but I know when I look at them and I see them crying that something's not right. They're hurt. They're in pain. They're needing help. And the help they need really is not going to come from man. Man will be temporary, temporal. But if I can give them the help of God, that's many times you go into these situations, people don't want to even want prayer that we go to in some of these situations with the police department. But you know what? I'm not going to force them to pray, but they may not want prayer. But you know what Tim's doing when I'm sitting in a situation like that? I'm inwardly praying. I'm inwardly asking the Lord, take control of this situation. Help them, Lord. Even though they're not reaching out to you, Lord, I feel for them, and I know you as my God. I know who you are in me. I know what I'm here to do, to show your love and compassion to others. So, Lord, touch this mother, touch this father, touch this wife, touch this husband, touch these kids, whatever the case might be, as only you can do, Lord. They may not want to pray and have a pastor or a chaplain pray, but, Father, you know what they need? They need prayer. They just don't know it. They've been disconnected. They don't have a church home. So many people out there do not have church homes. Can we call a pastor? Can I call your church? Well, we don't attend. It's been 12 years. It's been 50 years. Whatever the case is. Well, okay. But even with me there, and I can take this and you can take this to your home. You can take this to the situation that God puts you into when you get into those situations. How many have been in a situation where the person you're talking to has no relation with the church? No relation with a pastor? They don't even possibly have a relation with God. But they need help. They need help. And I pray by faith. I pray that, Lord, you see this individual hurting. And I just want to intercede for them, Lord. And just, if it be within you, Lord, to come and touch this person. They don't even know what they're missing from you. They don't even know what they want to ask from you. Sometimes they're mad. Sometimes they're hurt. Sometimes they're confused. But Father, I know by that of the Spirit, you can straighten all of those situations out. Amen? Has anybody been confused in your walk and by going to prayer and asking God that he has touched you and focused and you get a peace about something? And that you say, okay, I was struggling with it. It was on my heart. It was really over. It was consuming me. Anybody ever been consumed by a problem here today? Probably. You just don't want to admit it. But you got consumed by a problem because that's human nature. We get it all going. Our mind starts thinking, we can handle it. I can do it. I'm strong. I've got, I've learned about this. I've studied this. I can do this. We find out with doctors, they can go through all that testing and medicine and all, and they're phenomenal medicine and doctors out there. But they go into some situations that they have no hope, and then the person comes out of it, and they go, well, I don't know. We kind of gave them up, but there's a higher power. Amen. Amen, there's a higher power. Even those that maybe don't understand the higher power, no, there's a higher power. Talk to doctors and those that see death day in and day out and the things that they can do and the things that they try to do. And they've done all and they've exhausted everything. Medicine has given them the abilities and the knowledge to do. This person recovers and is walking out of the hospital a week later and they're going, tell you what, I gave them up for dead on the operating table. And they were just going to slowly pass. But there must have been a higher power than me in there that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's God. I'm excited that they recognize it. Amen. Sometimes the world will find it and they'll say, boy, was that lucky. Luck had nothing to do with it, my man. By the grace of God. His mercy. We don't understand it. I can't explain it to you. But I just say, by the grace of God, thank you for the mercy of God. Thank you, Lord. Who do you thank in your times? Who do you thank? So if we weep in a situation that we hear about, you're in good company. As we hear of situations, or even for ourselves, we need to remember that who we serve is God. Who is serving, or who are you serving? Didn't God tell the people, you will choose this day, what? Choose this day who you will, because you will either serve me, God, or you will serve the devil, the god of this world. There is no in between. Now, man, we kind of think like we're our own man, that, well, I don't believe there's a God, and I don't believe there's a devil. Well, you have just been so deceived that you're so hardened and calloused that you're right where the devil wants you to be. Because God's word says, choose this day who you will serve. There's a choice out there that everyone makes. Either you're choosing him, and if you don't choose him, you've automatically defaulted to who? The god of this world. See, life, there's a default in this whole system with God. We like to think of it that, no, we've got choices. I look at things, but look at your computers. Look at things that are designed sometimes. It'll say, do you want to go back to the default position of this program? Because right now where you're at, it's all mixed up and it's not working right. But if you go back to the default of this program, it'll go back to the originality of it and how it was designed, and it'll do away with all the updates, and maybe it'll just get back to the bare bones of what it was doing, and now you can operate it. There's a default in things. This life, there's a default. You either default to God or you default to the devil. I can only pray that those out there that think they're right here in the middle, that they're going to neither one, will have a realization that, yes, you are. You're serving the father of all lies, the devil. He's lied to you, and you took it hook, line, and sinker. But anyway, getting past some of this. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, God speaks to King Jehoshaphat, and he says this to him, going into the Old Testament. And that's where you really go into some of these things where the battles really were going forth and where you really begin to see how God prevailed and what he did working through people. But how he began to speak, and he would speak through the prophet would speak. This prophet speaks to King Jehoshaphat saying, what? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by a mighty army bearing down on them. Now this army that's bearing down on them, they could have taken them when they all first came into that land, but as they came into it, they were saying, don't bother these people, just go on and mind your business. Now these people that they left alone, that God said, don't bother them, just go do what I want you to do, now they're coming to battle them and to take over them. And they're saying, this people that we should have battled when we got here that you said don't, now they're coming to battle and take us. So the God speaks to King Jehoshaphat, says this, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged by a mighty army bearing down on you. I would encourage you today, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged by something that's coming down on you or that's you're battling in the natural or the things that are taking place, because we're going to get to the other area where these battles really take place in. But don't be discouraged by a mighty army that's bearing down on you. God says the battle is not theirs, but the battle is the Lord's. The battle is God's. Today, as you go through life, you go through, has anybody in life just gone through battles of things? You know, we might think it's, you know, it's an argument here, a battle, you know, the kids, this, all these things going on. If you get right down to it, sometimes we look at it, man, it's just a battle we've been through, you know? Something I've got to take care of, something I've got to go through, something that I've got to conquer this to get on with my life. It's a battle. But even today, I believe the Lord would say, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. God will say this, the battle is mine. I find comfort in that. Do you? Isn't it always nice to know that somebody else is there to take the situation on for you? We may not fight an enemy army. I'm not saying we're, you know, physically we're seeing these things happen. But every day we battle temptation. We battle pressures. We battle the rulers even of the unseen world. And, oh, now that's getting kind of spooky and spiritual. What are you talking about that? Well, God's word says that. And what God's word says, you just got to follow. Amen? You got to believe it is what he's telling us to do and to be prepared. Ephesians 6:12 in the New Living says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of what? The unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world." This world is dark. Now you look out there, you go, "It doesn't seem very dark to me. I know we got lights on in here, but look outside. It's bright." There's, what is he talking about? Darkness. It's a spiritual darkness. It's the darkness that we are walking in. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to where you become born again and you get enlightened by the Spirit of God. Amen. "But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." There's just, it's a spiritual battle that we're really going through. A spiritual battle that we're going through. And if we don't recognize it as that, if we want to think it's a natural thing and you know, it's the bank, it's my bank account, it's a battle I got to have with my bank account. It's not the bank account. It's a spiritual thing. It's my job just let me go. I got to fight about my job. It's a spiritual battle that we're going through. And we've got to ask God to give us the ability to stand. We've got to give God the ability to work in it. And we've got to give God the understanding that we trust Him in it. Whether it's a job, finances, health, home, kids, grandkids, wife, whatever the case is, husband. Ugh, wish I had that CD down here now that I was trying to show Linda in the back. And even this thing this morning, it just goes, reverberates anyway. The battle belongs to the Lord. And I'm not a devil chaser. I'm not going out and saying, "Hey guys, let's get together and let's go find demons and let's attack them and beat them down on the ground." I'm not that at all. I'm going to spend my time glorifying my God and following Jesus. But when those times that the enemy wants to come and kind of get in my way, I'm going to be what Jesus said to them, or him, after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was led out into the desert places. And at the very end, he says to the devil, "Get thee behind me, devil. Get thee behind me." I've had people call at times, or this is years back, this young girl. She goes, "Tim, how do we battle against the devil?" I go, "Wow, I don't know. Let's look this up." You know, I get an idea, but I guess I've never been a battler. I've been a lover, you know. I don't want to fight. I'd like to just, let's talk. And so I looked at my Jesus. I'm a follower of His. "Jesus, how did you deal with the devil? Well, he repeated back scriptures to him when he tried to entice him and try to have him do things. But after a while, Jesus just got tired of it and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Do you today tell that to Satan? Do you tell that to your problems that come up in your life? "Get thee behind me. And I'm going to turn it over to God. And I'm going to give him honor and glory right now. Even though the situation hasn't changed right now, I have spoken, I have trusted, I believe my God's word. I believe it's his word in there by the Spirit. I feel strength in it. I feel it's energizing me there. And it's like, I've said it, I've prayed about it, and I know who I am in God, and I know that God loves me and his word tells me to do these things. It's yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of it. Thank you, Lord, for having the answer. Thank you, Lord, for making a way. Thank you, Lord, for closing the door. Thank you, Lord, for giving me favor." Whatever it is. Thank you, Lord. You'll find in the Old Testament a lot of times as they went into the battle, they were praising and worshiping him. And as they were singing praises to God, what was he doing? He was going before them, striking down the enemy. He was going before them, knocking down the walls of Jericho. He was going before them to take care of whatever lied ahead of them that was not that of God. And if God has given you an opportunity and says what he's going to do in your life, don't believe the enemy's lie that you're not going to accomplish it. You might be sidetracked. You might get derailed here and there, but get back on that rail. Get back on that path. Let him put your feet back on that path to follow him and to go to him. This is not just a short race. This is an endurance race, isn't it? This is life. Life is a race. Life only ends when you stop breathing. This race only ends when you stop breathing. So anyway, Ephesians 6:12 is talking about the spiritual battle we're in. Quickly, four things that we can do. Well, I didn't finish that. Let's see. Okay. Note, we fight against an enemy, an army, but we may not fight an enemy army, but every day we battle temptation, pressures, and rulers of the unseen world who wants us to rebel against God. They actually want you to get upset with God. Anybody gone through a frustration or a thick situation in your life and you get mad at God? I've heard people doing that. I could do that if I don't watch myself. We can get mad at God and, but the enemy wants you to get mad and rebel against God. Remember, as believers, we have God's Spirit in us. Gets back to that Spirit. We've talked about the Pentecost time many weeks back, Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the power, the ability, the boldness that comes. If you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you're missing the most important, one of the most important of the three things, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. But here again, so remember that we as believers have God's Spirit in us. If we ask for God's help when we face struggles, hardships, whatever it might be, you just put whatever out there, God will fight for you. Four things to allow God to fight our battles. Realize that the battle is not ours, but God's. The battle is not yours, it's God's. Recognize human limitations and allow God's strength to work through our fears and our weaknesses. I've got fears and weaknesses, don't you? I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could all be so stoic and stand up and say, I'm a child of God, nothing gets me worried, I'm strong. Well, we understand our limitations, but I understand His strength in my weaknesses. Amen? Third, be sure that we are pursuing God's interests and not just our own selfish desires. You've got to stay connected to God's plan in your life. It's not your own selfish, I want this. It's not your selfish, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to accomplish this. This is what I want to do, God. It's like, Lord, what is it in my life that I can do that you want me to do that's going to honor you and glorify you? We all are here for a purpose. Do you believe that? Do you believe God just set you here just to let you go haphazard and say, I don't know what you're going to do, Ina. Just go down there and just do whatever. No. Our Janice, our Linda, our myself, Tim, God has a divine purpose. He's put us here for some reason, and a lot of us are scratching our heads trying to figure it out. And then when He starts working through a lot of us, we go, how could He use me? I don't feel I'm capable. You know why you're capable? Because you're listening. You have an open heart. Your heart is not hard. Your heart is pliable. You've got that desire to say, I want to serve you, God. I want to honor you, God. I want to bring glory to you. But we can't serve our own selfish desires or ambitions. You need to pursue God every day. And ask God for help in your daily battles. It surely will help you. As we wrap this up, you can look at it in Zechariah chapter 4. There's a battle taking place there and rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem and all. But here again, the one verse and the verse that you can read through 4, but in Zechariah 4:6 it says this, that this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Many people believe that to survive in this world, a person must be tough and strong, unbending and harsh. But God says it's not by force or not by strength, but it's by His Spirit. It's His Spirit working through these situations. It's His Spirit working through your life. And then actually, He's working in your problem. I'm not in the denial state that, I don't have problems. You're a man of faith and the word of faith, and it talks about speak. Don't speak negative things or don't speak. You can't deny the facts. Amen? We have people that get sick and things like that, and I tell people, it's like, you were diagnosed with this. You did lose your job. You're not speaking that you've lost. You're going to lose it. You've lost it. So you're not denying it, or you've got all kinds of these situations coming up. We're not in a denial type thing. We're just in an understanding that this is what the world says. This is what man says. But what does God say? And what does God say about Tim and what Tim is in his kingdom? And a lot of times He'll take you from this. And a lot of times you'll find that through maybe a loss of this situation or a job or whatever the case might be, that over here there was something much better and He had to move you from that over to here. Or what the devil meant for bad, God meant for what? Good. See, that's our God. That's how God, this is how God messes with the devil's mind. Because the devil's got to be like, what in the world just happened? I just destroyed this person's life. I just made them frustrated. I just took their finances away. I just took this. I just took whatever the case is. And somehow, through God's working of the situation, and it may not be instant or whatever, it might be a process of time, but all of a sudden you get over to the other side, and what the devil was thinking, and he's laughing because what he just put on you or just what happened in your life in this battle, he's like, oh boy, now let's see how he's going to serve God now or how she's going to handle this. And God turns it around to where it's like, oh my goodness, this is actually, 6 months later, you're going, you know what? That was probably the best thing that could have happened to me. And the devil's down there going, no, no. I wanted to be in such a situation that it would rebel them against God, that they would lose faith in God, that they would turn their backs on God. And all it did is it just turned them closer to him, and they keep walking to him. We don't have really a lot of time to get into the whole thing in Zechariah, but it's just that area of God's power, God's Spirit. And there's that end, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in our lives. The key to getting through what this world gives you is being strong in God's Spirit. It's only through God's Spirit that anything of lasting value is accomplished. Looking at the story of Zechariah, the exiles, they were returned, but they were weak. They were being harassed by the enemy. They were tired, discouraged, and poor. Anybody been there? Anybody been discouraged, tired, and poor, you know, coming back to something? Ugh. But the deal breaker, if we would call it that, is they had God on their side. You might be discouraged. You might be poor at the time. You might be just in a mess. But you have God on your side. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit. So for us today, as you live for God, you need to make a determination not to trust in your own strength or your own abilities. Don't look at the circumstances head on. Look at them and at what God can do in them. Turn them around. Lord, this has happened. How are you going to be glorified in it? I'm expecting you, Lord, to be glorified in this situation, in this discouragement, in this whatever it is, you are going to be glorified. So for us today, as you live for God, you need to make a determination not to trust in your strength or your abilities. You need to depend on God and work in the power of His Spirit. And as we look at this, I close this out. It says, as today, you know, as they were going to rebuild the temple there in Zechariah, it talks about here that today God's holy temple, the church, must be built and sustained not by wealth, not by members, not by virtue, nor by sheer strength, but by the Spirit of God. The church of today cannot sustain itself financially and thinking that money is going to take care of everything. The church of today can't believe that, well, if we've got 5,000 people here, it'll be a mighty work of God. It can't be that, you know, our power is going to do these things. But we need the Spirit of God to rest upon His churches. We need His Spirit to flow through His churches. And our church as well, we need to make sure that we come back to Him, that we are with Him, that we call upon Him, that we worship Him and praise Him and thank Him for working in us. If you look through Zechariah there, and I didn't turn to that, but it talks about how God looks at small beginnings and little things out there. A few years back, remember I had that, we had a thing for whatever the Lord gave us in 2012, 13, I don't know, it's somewhere in my books, about little is much when God is in it. Little is much. Whatever you're going through, you know, if God is in it, He can take a little and He can multiply it to fulfill everything that He needs. Amen? We don't need 5 gallons of God. Give me 1 ounce of God, and if it's truly God in His Spirit, it'll accomplish everything that needs to be. Amen? Because God is in it. Amen. I want to pray for you and just thank you, Lord, for being with us here today. I didn't get to the point of John 16:5 and all, where Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, because here again, we're finding talks about the Spirit, even in the Old Testament, God's Spirit in us. And Jesus said, I must go so that the Spirit, Holy Spirit can come, lead you, guide you, share with you the things of God. The Holy Spirit is the powerhouse for us today to hear connections with God. So encourage you to learn more about that, and we've shared on it many times. We're a Spirit-filled church. We speak about those things, believing that of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you.